Series that we started last week on creation. Genesis 1:1 begins with the assumption of God. The Bible does not set out to prove the existence of God, but just states the fact, in the beginning God. So Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. What we talked about last week in creation is that we believe that God is the creator of heaven and earth. We talked about how that we believe that the 6 days of creation were six literal 24-hour days. And then on the seventh day, God saw that what He had made, as the Bible says, and it was very good. And on the seventh day that He rested. We also talked about the evidence for a young earth. And we talked about how evolution and the theory of evolution really has to have millions and millions and millions of years to prove that theory. And so what we talked about was a young earth. And we talked about how when God created the heaven and earth, that He created the earth with the appearance of age, that He created the earth with wholeness. In other words, He created it and didn't need, you know, evolution to help Him or evolution to continue. We talked about how one of the greatest arguments against evolution is the code theory. In other words, when Darwin came up with his theory of evolution, he didn't know anything about chromosomes. He didn't know anything about genetics. He didn't know anything about the codes that bring forth, you know, people or bring forth animals or whatever. He didn't know anything about that kind of thing. And so really what Darwin called his theory of evolution was the devil's gospel. And that's his own words. It's not what, you know, I'm saying or any other preacher or theologian is saying. That's what he called it. And the reason he called it that was that his theory of evolution was simply his attempt to escape any accountability to God. And he spent his whole life doing that. And what he learned in the very end is what we all know is that you can't do that. Because one day when it comes down to an end, those who want to deny God as creator will stand before Him as judge. He is not only creator, but He's our redeemer. Now, the Bible does not contradict true science. We believe in true science. When the Bible speaks of science, then it confirms what true science is all about. You know why? Because the author of creation is the same author of true science. We have a lot of advancement in science today. We, particularly in the medical field and different places and technology where science has helped us tremendously. So we don't, you know, disregard that and we don't deny that. But what we do say is this. When it comes to the Bible and when it comes to creation, the Bible is very clear. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. What we're saying is this, that we need to take Genesis 1:1 as face value. We need to take the writing of Moses. When God spoke to Moses, He said, Moses, here's what I want you to do. I want you to write down what I'm going to tell you about creation. And so when Moses, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, sat down to pen the words of the first five books of the Bible, beginning with Genesis, God is saying to Moses, here is an eyewitness account of how it happened, when it happened, and why it happened. And so in the Bible, no one else was around, no eyewitnesses, God in the beginning, God is saying through Moses, this is how it happened. And so what we're trying to do in this series is from a biblical perspective to just share with you what the Bible has to say about creation. We can take the words of Moses at face value when it comes to creation. Why? because they are the very words of God. In Hebrews 11 and 3, in the New Testament, Hebrews says it this way: by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. If you go on up in that chapter in Hebrews 11, it says in verse 1 that faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. So we have faith in God. The critics of the Bible say that we, you know, the creation is just a fairy tale and a myth, and you know, you got to have faith to believe that. Yes, you do. I agree with that. But we have the assurance of the things hoped for. We have the conviction of the things that not seen are seen, that were made by a Creator, and that Creator is God. Now, over and over again, we talked about how that you could go to hundreds of verses in the Bible that speak to this fact of creation, that God created the heavens and the earth. Psalm 33:6 and 9, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were created. Psalm 148:5, He spoke, and all they were created. And so the Bible tells us, how was all this done? God created. There's a phrase in Genesis 1 that is repeated over and over again by Moses. And here's what Moses said: God saw that it was good. And so Moses repeated that over and over again. If you have your Bible open there in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 10, God saw that it was good. Verse 12, God saw that it was good. Verse 21, God saw that it was good. Verse 25, God saw that it was good. And then he goes on to say in verse 31, when he finished on the sixth day of creation, God saw everything that he made, that it was very good. So the Bible tells us another repeated phrase over and over again in the Genesis account of creation: God said. God spoke. So God just spoke it into existence. And that's exactly what the Bible is saying to us. I'm speaking this morning on when God speaks, something happens. When God spoke, then that's how creation came into being. In other words, nothing, He created something out of nothing. In other words, He spoke it into existence, and that's how it came into being. Now, what is the significance of the creation account in the Bible? Number one, what it says is this. It says to us that God loves His creation. Do you realize that you were in the mind of God before you were ever born? You know what the Bible says in the book of Revelation? The Bible says that when we are saved, that our names are written in the Lamb's book of life, but our names are written in the Lamb's book of life before the foundation of the world. Before you ever came into this world, and I ever came into this world, you were in the mind of God. Now imagine that conversation in heaven. See, God was not created. God has always been. This world was created. We were created by God. But see, God has always been. And so even in eternity past, what the creation account says does is that God loved His creation. The universe that He created, the stars, the planets, the things on this earth that we can see, the mountains, the plants, the trees, the animal life, and then humankind. God has a love for His creation. And if the creation account tells us anything, it tells us this, that we are not here at random. Now you see, that is a modern thought that goes against the creation account. People who believe in evolution and people who want to deny God as creator simply say, well, we're just here at random. Now, if there is no God, let me ask you this. What is your purpose for being here? If there is no God, what is eternity? If there's no God, what is the spiritual basis of your life? And so again, we just come back to the biblical account to say to us that God loves His creation. So that means He has a love for you. And where do we see this demonstrated? We see it demonstrated in creation. But where we really see it demonstrated is when we come to the New Testament and we see the cross of Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world. God so loved you. God so loved me that even in the beginning, the very beginning, He knew that one day that His Son would have to come and die on the cross for our sins. Now that is God. So the second thing though is this that I want to talk about, and it's this. That there is an order in creation. The order of creation is seen in the Bible. In day one, you see that in verses 1-5. The Bible tells us on day one that God created the planet, earth, followed by the light, and then He separates the light from the darkness and gives them names. On day two of creation, God creates the sky, divides the waters from above and from the waters on the earth. That's seen in verses 6-8. On day three, in verses 9-13, what God did was God separates the dry land from the seas and then creates planet life. And what you see there is a phrase that begins in the Genesis account. And here's what it says. The seeds brought forth after their kind. The plants brought forth after their kind. The fruit trees and the fruit that we eat bring forth after its kind. See, it doesn't change. That is significant in the Bible. Because see, what the theory of evolution says is that it changes. But that's not what the Word of God says. And so those phrases that we're talking about are very important. God said is an important phrase. God saw that it was good is important. After its kind, that is repeated. After every stage of creation, God says it's good. In the stages of creation, God says, after its kind. And so understand that. And then on day four of the creation account, verses 14-19, the Bible says, God created the stars, the sun, the moon, and other planets. God created that. Now, I'm not an astronomer or a scientist, but I am a Bible preacher. And I'm preaching to you what the Word of God says. And I don't apologize for that. We don't have to apologize for believing what the Bible says about creation. But now when you go into all this and you study this from a scientific way, I mean, you just think about the greatness of like the earth on its axis, the distance the earth is from the sun, the amount of moon dust that's on the moon, and all these things that you can study and read about in scientists. You know what it does? It confirms a creator. It confirms that there's intelligence behind creation, that we are not here at random. But see, the moral thought, the majority thought in culture today is that we're just here at random. That evolution happened. That we come from a blob of amoeba. And that we evolved in who we are today. That is not what the Bible says. Now, on day 5, verses 23-23, the Bible says God creates the fish, God creates the birds. And if you look at those verses, you see the phrase again. What did the birds bring forth? After their kind. What did the fish bring forth? After their kind. Now see, modern thought in evolution is that we came from the sea. That, you know, we were tadpoles at one time and we crawled out of the sea and we became human beings. Well, see, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that what God created in the sea and the birds and the fish and everything, they bring forth after their kind. Then day 6, verses 24-31, what does God create there? He creates the land animals and then mankind directly by His own hand. So all these animals, God created. And then we come to the highest of His creation, and that is mankind. You see something very different there. In this conversation that's going on in heaven between God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, you know what changes in the conversation there? It becomes personal. Let us make man. And so the Bible clearly states that we did not evolve, that we are not here at random, we're not here by chance, but we were created by the hands of God. And when God created mankind, the Bible tells us that He looked at His creation, all His creation, and He said, that is very, very good. Now the third point is this. Mankind is unique in all creation. Look at Genesis 1 verse 26. Genesis 1, 26, then God said, let us make man in our image. According to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female, He created them. Then God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I've given you every herb that yields its seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree which fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. Then God saw everything that He had made, and indeed, it was very good, so that the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now, we're created in the image of God. Now, the significance of that is this. I'm going to show you in chapter 2. Being created in the image of God means this, that we're different than the animals. I shared with you last week the quote from the former president of PETA that, you know, we like animals and we need to take care of animals and not, you know, harm animals. Mistreat animals, we all know that. But the former president Peter said, she said, a monkey is a dog, is a boy. In other words, there's no difference. But the Bible makes it clear that there's a difference when God came to humankind. Animals have a conscience. In other words, they can be aware of their surroundings. They can sense danger. They know how to protect themselves. Things like that. They know how to look for food, stuff like that. They have that kind of conscience. But being created in the image of God means that we have self-conscience, just like God. You know what that means? We know the difference between right and wrong. It means that God has created us with ability of relationships. That's why we can have relationships with one another. We have that self-conscience. It means that God has created us that we can have a relationship with Him. When God created you and He created me, what He had in mind was this, was a relationship. And that's what the story of the Bible is all about. The book of Genesis can really be divided into two parts. In chapters 1 all the way to chapter 2 and verse 4, or verse 3, you have the account of creation. From chapter 2 to verse 4 to chapter 2 verse 4 to chapter all the way through chapter 50 of the book of Genesis, you know what you have there? You have the history of humankind. You have the genealogy of the history of man recorded for us in the Bible. And so God created humankind. And so mankind is unique in all of God's creation. But I want you to look in Genesis 2. And in Genesis chapter 2, I want to show you here. What Genesis 2 is, really, it's not another creation account. But what Genesis 2 is just a footnote to chapter 1. Chapter 1 is the order of creation. Chapter 2, you know, he's not going into another account of creation. What he's doing is just giving you a footnote to the creation. Listen to chapter 2 and verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done. Now, why did he end his work and why did he rest? Because it was complete. You don't need evolution. The theory of evolution says it's not complete. The theory of evolution says creation did not end, that it keeps evolving, that it keeps going. Well, what does the Bible say? God ended his creation. Evolution's not necessary. God created the work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he has done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. In it, he rested from all the work which God had created and made. Not that he was tired, because God doesn't get tired. But it was complete. He completed his work. Verse 4. This is the history in the Bible. Now listen. This is what Moses said. If you want to know the why, when, where of creation, the Bible is telling you right here, this is how it happened. This is the history of the heavens and the earth. When they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. And then he gives you a summary there. Verse 7 says that, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. And that's how it happened. The Bible is clear. The Bible is simple. Why did God create us in the image of man? Or the image of God? Why did he create man that way? So that we could have a relationship with him. You see, in the days of creation here, what God is doing, and you see the order here, he's building us a house to live in, and that house is this planet Earth. And so he builds that house, and then on the sixth day, what does God do? He creates man. The Bible says he breathed into man the breath of life. Not evolution, not evolving from monkey, not some blob of amoeba, not some tadpole that crawled out of the sea, nothing like that. But God created us. When did he do it? There's a Bible scholar by the name of Unger, who lived years ago. And he goes back and he dates the time of Adam in the Bible. And you can do this. You can do this in years. You can do it in a historical way. And really, he argues for a young earth. Evolution has to have millions and millions and millions and millions of years. Evolution is a theory. Evolution has to have death. Another argument against evolution from the Bible is this: death did not exist in the creation. When did death come about? When Adam and Eve sinned. So you didn't have death on the face of the earth until after Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. Evolution, though, you have to have death. What I'm saying is, folks, I mean, the Bible is this simple. It's straightforward. It's to the point. that God created. The why, the when. Well, really, you know, the conservative biblical scholars and the scientists who are creationists, who believe in the biblical account of creation, they date it thousands of years, 7,000, 8,000. You know, they date it in that way. It's not billions and billions and millions and millions. So, but we really don't know. But we do know that it's a young earth. How did God do it? The Bible says that God spoke it into existence. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. He spoke, came to be. You know where our rest is? The Bible says He rested on the seventh day. God did His work in creation. Jesus Christ came to this world and He did His work. You know where His work is demonstrated? In His life, in His ministry, on the cross, then resurrection. And then the Bible says, when He completed His work on this earth, that He rested from His work. Do you know where our rest can be found? Our rest can be found in this Creator and this Redeemer. We don't have to struggle against God. We don't have to do what Darwin did and spend our life in trying to run away from God, because we know that that's an impossibility. You cannot run away from God. But we can enjoy Him and have a relationship with Him. We are created in His image. We are put here to bring glory to Him and bring honor to Him. We can do that on this earth. That is the purpose that we have for living, to bring glory and honor to God. I mean, all this is seen in the creation account. Now, I'm going to close, but let me tell you this. The Bible tells us that we can see the evidence of God in creation. We can see that. But what we cannot see in creation, the reason we have to have the New Testament, what we cannot see in creation is God's grace. We can't see God's forgiveness in creation. We can't see God's, sacrifice of what it cost Him to redeem us. That is not seen in creation. But you know where you see God's grace and forgiveness and mercy? You see it at the cross of Jesus Christ. What creation does is say, look, this is real. If you want to know God, you can know God. Creation can point us to God, but the New Testament and cross tells us about God. And see, that's the difference. So that's what God is doing in all this. Jeremiah 31, verse 3. Listen to this. Here's what God says. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, He says this. He says, I have redeemed you with loving kindness. Folks, you have a God who loves you, who cares for you, and He wants to have a relationship with you. If you don't have that relationship with Him, we'd love to help you with that this morning. You don't have to be ashamed to believe the Bible. The Bible is given under inspiration of God. All Scripture, even the creation account, all Scripture, Genesis 1:1 all the way through Revelation, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And I'll just tell you this, I'm going to stand with the Bible when it comes to creation. I'm going to stand with the Bible, and what the Bible does is to confirm true science. That's what it does. Let's stand for our prayer. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for this eyewitness account of creation. It tells us the why, tells us the when, and tells us the where. It really gets down to the very basic questions of life. Why am I here? What's my purpose in life? What does eternity mean? Lord, all these answers, all these questions are found in the answers of the Bible. And we thank you for that. We thank you that you have created us in your image. And you desire to have a relationship with us. Lord, for those who need to establish that relationship this morning, I pray that they would come. I pray that they would see your grace and your forgiveness and the cross of Jesus Christ. You loved your creation so much that you sent your Son into this world to redeem us, to pay the price of our salvation, which was very costly, because you love us. And we thank you for that. We thank you that in the way that you created us, that we all have the potential one day of spending eternity with you. As the Bible says, when you created us, you put eternity in our hearts. We have a desire for you. We have a longing for you. For those who need to make that commitment today, I pray that they would come. In your name we pray. Amen.